attend. Let's see, one, two. Well, if you count the energy, well, let me finish counting. One, two, three, four, five. Five affinity group meetings a week. If you count the energy things, that's up to 12 or something, 12 online meetings a week, probably to go every time. So, you know, what makes me think I need another? Well, I don't think I need one, but I do think that there are souls out there who need an opportunity to connect to other souls, and that's good for my soul if I can provide that. Extremely good, actually. You probably have no idea how good for my soul it is to do these events, which is another thing. Well, why charge for them then? When we come around again, because you, like the rest of us, pay not good money. There is no such thing. You pay bad money after bad money on all kinds of bad shit. So actually putting money towards something that's good for your soul is good for your soul, good for a relationship with money. And I'm not saying that's my motive, I'm just saying that there's a transmutation of currency that we're involved in, and literally at a global level. It didn't take me long to get to that level, because this meeting is different from the other meetings in that there's more likely to be a focus on what's going on in the world and what to do about it. We're in the midst of this fifth generational warfare that includes the transmutation of old money. It's not old anymore, but you know, middle-aged money into new money. I guess it's going back. It's aging backwards, like Benjamin Button. So we're going from gold to paper to semi-digital, and now we're going to totally digital. Probably faster than, you know, fast enough to get collective whiplash, as we're already suffering from after the last 2 years. And I think everyone here knows the agenda behind that: total control for the total controllers. Transmutation of currency. We want to go in the opposite direction. We want to transform money back into old money, gold, maybe not literally, but symbolically, maybe literally, might be a smart move, and then into fruit of the land, physical currency. Think some things that actually have true value. I think gold does have some true value. I think it has healing qualities, but that's a bit esoteric. But we know that fruit and lumber and land and these things have absolute value to the body and to the human community. So I'm still trying to get a sense of what this particular meeting space is for, so that I can make it easier for all of us to fulfill that purpose. I mean, it helps to know your purpose to fulfill it, as long as you don't get stuck in some theory. And that's the balancing act that these meetings involve. Including the weekly ones that are more established in terms of what happens there. There isn't so much uncertainty, because these are open to anyone, these meetings. That's the main difference. The other meetings, you have to pass through various ordeals to enter therein. These are open to absolutely anyone. Well, as long as they abstain. Certain substances. So there was a period, I mean, the very most brief, most recent iteration of this meeting was about getting back to the land. And it's certainly open to that. If there are people there that are already involved in that, or if people have really, I don't know, specific questions or concerns, but it hasn't really been that much of a focus. And for me, the reason is I'm just not doing enough that I can share my knowledge. I mean, lately I've been, last 2 days, I've been, finally, I've got this, the last couple of days that I got the license. I just have to telephone, but I got permission to burn on the land And I can't give you, if I gave you the whole backstory, it would be a whole 15-minute familial or marital anecdote. But let's say I got, there was some marital conflicts around that. My partner's very fire wary. She's frightened of forest fires, and I'm not. I love fire, and I'll just, you know, just give me a match and I'll start burning stuff. I was never an arsonist, by the way. I never did anything like that as a kid. My brother did. But I've never had come across, I've never had serious accidents burning, except for my eyebrows, which I did yesterday. Anyway, so my first attempt got aborted by that conflict, which really kind of exploded. And so there was a symbolic fire instead of a literal fire. And so then I left it for a few, and then the last minute, I got down to it yesterday, and I was much more effective, and my life didn't get in my way. And so, yeah, the last couple of days I've been burning as much as I can of the brambles and the branches that I've been cutting and clearing. And it's heavy going. It's heavy going, actually. I felt like a firefighter, except that my mission was the absolute inverse. I was trying to keep the fire going. And actually have moved one fire then to another area, so transporting burning stuff to another area so I could start a second fire and smoke in the eyes and burn whiskers and the whole thing. But it was April Fool's Day yesterday, so it seemed like a good day for a fire kindling mission, because I'm an April Fool, for those who don't know. Anyway. You know, that makes an interesting anecdote, but it's not like you're going to come to me for advice about how to, well, maybe some of you would, I don't know. I was looking for advice before I did it, because A, I didn't want to piss off my wife again, and B, it's actually quite hard to set fire to huge branches, because they, you know, so yeah, but I know the technical approach to building fires, obviously, I mean, something I've always been good at. I'm just a bit lazy. If you've got a huge, big pile of branches, I just want to put a match under it and watch them go. But needless to say, that doesn't happen. It did happen eventually, but I had to build a little fire. See, this is my point. You don't really need this in terms of how to live off the land. So I'm not in any position to really guide. Share knowledge about what I'm doing on the land. What I can share is what it's doing for me, for my soul, and for my physical health, and my psychological, emotional, mental well-being. And I cannot speak more highly, too highly of that. That is so worth it. The very things that probably are discouraging many of you, but certainly many of us humans, from getting back to the land, put it in quotes, but it's kind of literally that, are the things that are truly satisfying once you're involved in them, at least they have been for me. As in, I don't want to do this, I just want to, like, sit, you know, sit by the fire or sit in the sun and read my book. What the mind and the entities are saying, pushing through that inertia barrier and getting involved in whatever physical activity it is, and then starting to find that there's a whole different kind of satisfaction to be had that isn't mental. But the mind is present, and the mind starts having wonderful thoughts. Yesterday I thought, I might as well be enlightened. What's the difference? If this is what it feels like to be alive, I might as well be enlightened. Can't go around saying I am like Dave, because that would be untrue. And obviously, I know, you know, the truth is I can't perform at optimal level. So it's not strictly true, but it's still nonetheless an indication of how much the soul comes forth when the body gets more and more engaged in the laws of matter and allows its... I mean, I was cursing and blinding yesterday, don't get me wrong. If you had a footage of me, or at least select moments, like game, not game for laughter, it'll be all right on the night TV show with all the bloopers. It would be I don't want to do it again because I never like listening back when I imitate myself when I'm angry. It sounds but much harsher probably than it does when I'm genuinely angry because it's a kind of natural ripple of rage. But let's just say that the tree that I'd already fallen, or somebody, a local worker had fallen, I had to sever a couple of limbs off just to burn them, and it fought back. And so I fought back and we got in a struggle, and all of my infantile X-rated rage came out. Don't get an X for saying fuck you cocksucker anymore, probably, but in my day you did. And that's exactly the kind of thing I would say to the tree, which is totally inaccurate ontologically because the tree never sucked anyone's cock. And no, I don't see why that should be an insult anyway. But yeah, on the surface, there's a lot of mental and emotional agitation happening in that struggle. But in between the struggles, when I find my rhythm, and let's say to bring it back to the opening question, when I'm moving more instinctively from my gut, so that I'm in tune with the law of nature and I'm responding to it correctly, and so I'm performing well, then I start having these much more positive thoughts and associations. This is what enlightenment must be like. You know, times infinity. And Dave asked recently, I mean, just yesterday, actually, what's the Saturday meeting about? I thought he was just probing, as he often does, but it was actually the context was whether or not he should recommend it to his email list. And I couldn't really say, and he wanted to know themes, so I just said, well, general themes are awakening, souls meeting. And exiting hell and getting back to the land, which is very, very general. But they correspond, you know, as various different things, like exiting hell, we all want to do that. Some of us maybe don't want to get back to the land, but so I'm here to testify that that's the only way out of hell, is through earth, through connecting to earth and the body, and then awakening speaks for itself, I think. Can be rude, can be unpleasant, but necessary and good. And then the meeting of souls, well, that brings it to community, which is the goal of getting back to the land as I see it, is doing it together, doing it in groups or packs. And these meetings, now these are the opposite of getting back to the land. So we've got a spectrum there, the whole spectrum, really. But they are about meeting, souls meeting. Now, if we were all on here, let's say in Galicia, because that's where I am, I was having a meeting here, we probably wouldn't be sitting around and talking much, certainly not for 2 or 3 hours, I don't suppose. Maybe we would, I don't know. I mean, if Dave was here, I'm sure we would. He's a talker. But more likely, we would be working on the land. And so most of our interaction, although it might include speaking, would be practical talk, you know, what should I burn next, or where do I drag these things? But we would be connecting and interacting and communing around a shared purpose. And I'm pretty sure if it was the right group of people, then that would be a deepening and deepening of connections, and the souls would be becoming more and more present through that interaction without much need for blah, blah, blah. Just being human bodies in nature. So we're here on Zoom, and as I've said before, I'm talking quite a bit because it keeps people's attention on one place. Everybody's attention, hopefully, is, well, actually, I'm going to have to put a big proviso to this, but I'll finish the sentence first. Oops, internet connection unstable. Interesting. So I'll even start again. Hopefully everybody's attention isn't really on me primarily. Hopefully your attention's on your body and on your breathing and what's happening for you. But I mean, in a certain sense, probably that's always the case, but not necessarily in a good way. Your attention might just be on your thoughts and in your head. But your attention always begins and ends with yourself, because you're it. Right? You don't know anything except your internal experience and then what you're perceiving from the inside out. But hopefully it's more and more on your body and just being present. But then secondarily, hopefully your attention's also somewhat on me, which means that all of your attention that isn't just on yourself is on the same thing, which means that your attentions are becoming synchronized. That's the purpose of me talking. And not opening it up right away and saying, hey, anyone got anything to share? Because it doesn't necessarily allow for a calming of the nervous system and a synchronizing of the nervous system so that the souls can start to detect each other's frequency. I can't remember why I said that now, because I think I was on my way to something else. It was to do with, oh yeah, we're on Zoom. So talking is somewhat necessary, although one of the meetings I go to is a silent meditation, but I have to say I just lie there and think. I guess I'm not a meditator. I mean, I stare at the fire. But I feel less connected to those souls in silence than I do when we're interacting. Some people are different. But anyway, so yeah, I prefer interaction on Zoom. But the point was, I think, that we are on Zoom, which is to say we're in the technocratic system of surveillance, manipulation, coercion, and control. The medium is the message. We're being mediated now. So you're not having, except at this soul level, which does include the physical senses, but not the mind, you're not having a direct experience of me. You're having a mediated translation. You're receiving a mediation of me, which is a digital bytes transmitted through the whole infrastructure of computer information technology. It's an Aramanic frequency that I'm coming to you on. So that's quite a lot to overcome. And the obvious thing, that we're all just sitting at our computers now, in my case, in a beautiful day, I could be burning branches and breathing the fresh air. So that to do what essentially is my particular skill, I believe, the transmutation of darkness into shadow, to flip that around, that makes these meetings, they're always potentially an opportunity to demonstrate and practice and experience what they're about, which is extrication from hell and back to nature. We're in hell now, we're on Zoom. But we can't get out of hell or Zoom simply by turning off the computer, because it's in us. So to actually be using the technology in the medium of Zoom, A, because we have to, B, because we use it anyway for other stuff that's less worthy, and C, for this last reason, that know thine enemy. Find the ways in which the soul and human consciousness can get around the system, which includes especially the source and the origin of the system, which is the satanic implant in our nervous systems that created the system. like using us as host bodies to do it, from Cain and Abel on down. Well, Adam and Eve, really, but got more obvious with Cain and Abel. And it is a men's group. I mean, it's not technically a men's group, but it keeps ending up being one. Yeah, so all I really know about what these meetings are for and why I do them is I feel, I sense, I am aware of souls in dire straits, and I'm called by my own soul imperative to assist souls that I see in those straits. It's a communal impulse. It's actually Christ's impulse, I think. I mean, it's a savior. Could be a savior complex, but I don't. I mean, I've been there, done that, been through my savior complex. So I don't feel that that's the case anymore. I just feel it's just a natural human impulse. When a body is sufficiently ensouled. And as I said earlier during this intro, which I'll round up in a minute, I believe, the proof for me that it's worth doing and that it's effective is the effect it has for my own well-being. And I don't just mean doing it. I even mean, like, the other night, on Monday, I had a really, really bad day. And I ended up really getting taken over by those internal entities and just in a state of extreme internal heaviness. And it continued throughout the day. And although I didn't identify with it, I identified it. And I didn't, well, I couldn't get rid of it. I didn't forget, but I worked, you know, I worked on the land. So that was the best thing I could do. And I did what I would have done anyway and did it just as well as I would have done normally, I think. But it didn't get rid of it. Even working on the land didn't get rid of it. So by the time I was, evening time came and I was lying on the couch by the fire trying to read, I still had this terrible feeling in my cells of like devastation, of heaviness that I get when I'm heavily triggered. And I ended up listening to the podcast I made of last Saturday's meeting. And by the time I'd finished listening to that podcast, I felt 100% better. I was amazed. I was like, this is good shit. And it could have been ego inflation, but I didn't have that feeling. I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm so clever, and that was really good, and oh, I really like that bit. It was just, I just enjoyed relaxing and listening to it and interaction with Lara and the musical breaks. And after, I did think, oh, that was probably the best podcast I ever did. I didn't get any feedback, so you know, maybe no one else thought that, but but yeah, it didn't seem to be a mind thing. It was just as though I was receiving the very thing that I'd been transmitting. Now I was on the, so the things I was saying to others, I was now saying to myself, like, come back, come out, wherever you are. Your soul is here now. You're just covering it over with a crusty layer of old, outdated, outmoded thoughts and feelings and memories and associations and stories and sensations, primarily sensations. That, I think that's the deepest level of infiltration, is at the level of sensations. Because if we got something in us, I said I was rounding up, that that knows how to create really unpleasant sensations in the body, that creates a foundation for it to build its way up. I'd say it's a two-way thing, actually. I believe it starts in the mind because it can't infiltrate our body directly. But anyway, it started very young. And so there are certain triggers in the mind that will trigger us. The thoughts get interjected by the entities. That triggers emotional reactions, which is the chemical flare-up. That creates the sensations. Then the entity can locate our body and get more installed in the sensations. And then it goes the other way too, that with negative, and this maybe was how it began with trauma, with negative sensations or very unpleasant sensations, we learn to push them out of awareness with less intense and less overwhelming experience. So emotion and then thought being the final layer in the mind gets assembled as that front line of defense against the unbearable affect, as I talked about before. And so if we want to get through all of that, all of those negative thoughts and associations back to the soul, it's a question of getting all the way down to the level of the unbearable sensations. And the good thing about sensations, as I said recently, is that it's very hard to identify with sensations. If you have a thought telling you, as I did on Monday, I feel like shit, I'm too tired, none of this is working, I don't want to do any of this anymore, fuck all these people, who are they, etc., etc., and the corresponding emotions of self-pity and anger and so on, it's very easy to identify with that and actually take it for real and true, that this is my life. But if you just have very difficult sensations, it's much harder to identify with those sensations and turn them into a form of action or a form of behavior, besides just lying around in bed. I mean, admittedly, that can happen, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. That's actually what came up recently in a consultation with somebody who's here today, that positive disintegration, when we get to the level of experiencing our colonization at a really deep visceral level, things start falling apart internally, and it can be paralyzing mentally, emotionally, and physically. But it's not a permanent paralysis. To rest, actually, a deep rest.
The mud games are
random that all of us, to some degree or another, have lost touch with since we were babies. And then the other side is that this kind of discomfort that it might cause in others if we do abandon ourselves. And how that, if we're complicit with that, we're aware of other people's discomfort, or even if we have an idea that we might make people uncomfortable if we just let go and abandon ourselves and express in ways that are uninhibited, without anything about being rude or unkind, before it gets to any of that kind of stuff, just being unpredictable, then we're censoring ourselves constantly. So that's, I think that's close to what I was talking about of the potential for interaction being more dynamic. One of the ways that we can liberate ourselves in the experience of interaction. And it's very tricky. It's kind of a conundrum, or a Chinese finger trap, or whatever. It's a catch-22, something I was looking for. Because if you can't organize spontaneity, you have to say, okay, unmute yourself and be absolutely spontaneous. I mean, I can say that, but nobody's going to do it. I mean, you might go blah, 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 or something like that, right? And even that's like, oh, that could still be, because serious presenters don't do that. This is their dance before they start, and so on. Or you could get Tourette's, and start swearing, connection unstable, and so on. Whatever it was, I mean, it would be something, I suppose. And the thing about language is that it regulates our consciousness. It regulates our consciousness. So talking is a way to just keep conforming. Call it original syntax. Being taxed for our original sin with every word that we speak. So yeah, there are ways to shake that up. Heifer lumps riding backwards through rectal passageways to deliver all of their abortional fantasies in random order, They could just mix up words and cause a bit of cognitive dissonance and can make games around that and so on. But it's a bit of a literalization. And then another method is you do deep psychological probing, and that certainly takes people out of their comfort zone. But we're in a time where we need to get off the map fast. Right, because the map is what they've used to colonize us and all of nature, and they're closing down every last avenue that's on. Anything that can be mapped is going to be colonized, co-opted, and controlled. There will come a day where we won't be able to use the English language without being instantly identified by it, the control system, and stopped, captured, instantly captured. That will give us away. So any move that we make that isn't 100% from the soul and spontaneous, and we'll be swatted like a fly. Right? I don't know how soon that's going to be, I don't know. But could well be in our lifetime. Total control. Total control of everything except the soul. Of every single body and every mind that isn't in 100% service to the soul will be under total control. So what a paradox, huh? This ain't no party. This ain't no disco. Definitely doesn't seem like a game. But unless we're able to be in the spirit of pure spontaneity and joy and playfulness, like babies, then we're cooked. Which suggests, seeing as there doesn't seem any other way out of that conundrum, that there is a part of us to which it is a game, to the spirit that can't be captured or controlled or coerced. None of this is a problem. I don't plan to show you guys my wounded sexuality, but of course can't hide it. But, you know, I'm not circumcised, so I couldn't show you any physical wounds anyway. But because it's such a, I mean, as my one of my requirements is that I want people to be relaxed and open, but I also want people to be not too comfortable, to push into areas of discomfort. And that's going to be very easy if we're going to focus on that, just the first and the final taboo. Weirdly, sex is more taboo than it's ever been now in the age of sexual liberation, post-liberation. So taboo, in fact, that it doesn't exist anymore. In a couple of ways. One is biological sex has been outlawed and now it's only gender. And the other way that sex, as in procreative lovemaking between a man and a woman, obviously it still happens. Babies are still being born, but essentially it's gone from being square to being actually legislated out of existence, I think. Politically incorrect to have missionary sex. But I'm very old-fashioned, and if you do sign up for this meeting, you maybe find out just how old-fashioned I am. Essentially, my view is that Adam and Eve got it wrong, and it's just been downhill ever since. So that's how old-fashioned I am. I think we have to go back to Eden before the snake to get it right. So yeah, Simon Kay said it's a subject that embraces everything. Everything that went wrong with the human trajectory went wrong there at the beginning with the first act of coupling. Right, that's my view. And as just in an email today, actually somebody was saying that it's not fair. If you know, if you have a partner, you can have sex, but if you don't have a partner, you can't. And I said, how little you know, and that the most basic fundamental sexual act or use of sexual energy is between the original couple, not Adam and Eve, but your body and your soul. That's the original coupling, the original marriage that hasn't happened, the original consummation that hasn't happened for any of us. So that's also the subject that contains all subjects. So yeah, hopefully we can span the spectrum between the nitty-gritty and the sticky and the awkward of just human, raw human male sexuality and all of its failings and frustrations to the deepest, most fundamental metaphysical questions of existence.